It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Good morning and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Jason McBride, filling in for Kim today, who is having a well-deserved day off. With me today is Juliana Day and Joe Altman. We're going to be talking about Due Date Too Late, the initiative on the ballot to end abortion past 22 weeks in Colorado. Joe Altman is here with me. He'll be sharing some info on the actual polling data for Trump's campaign, and also to talk about a new, what I believe is a very exciting group of people coming together to stand and fight for America, stand and fight for our flag, for our faith, for our education, for our businesses. This seems to be a grassroots movement that is gaining steam very quickly, and we're hoping to see it go national. But again, Kim has the day off. She's been either kind enough or Steve would say brave enough to let me fill in for her. What did you say yesterday, Steve, that the show would be nothing but a smoking hole in the ground I got done today?
No, I was not forecasting. I was just saying our mission is to keep it on the rails and keep it from becoming a smoking hole in the ground. So,
I seem to remember it a little bit different that you said something about smoking hole in the ground and then hung up on me before I could comment.
Oh, well, that's a technical problem, I guess. I'm just glad to have the three of you here. It's really something to, see three people on the other side of the glass instead of, just Kim. So obviously, we're getting back on track. And so welcome to Joe. Welcome to Juliana.
All right. Well, we always want to mention the website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter. There's a lot of great info in there on who's coming up on the show, op-eds, all the info going on with the Kim Munson group, the whole stratosphere, the atmosphere, the ecosphere, whatever they call it. Also, give a like on Facebook. One of my favorite quotes it comes right from the Declaration of Independence, and I'm sure I won't get it exactly right, but it's from Thomas Jefferson, and he says that we are not a government by the majority, but a government by the majority that participate. And I think that is a really interesting and strong statement that we have the right to vote. We can choose to vote. There are some who choose not to participate. And, Joe, I'd come to you first on this thought very quickly. Yeah, I've always thought if there's a group of, 10 of us that actually will not only scream at the television, but actually go and vote, if those 10 people could just get one more and turn that into 11 people that will vote, we would probably blow everybody out. We'd win every time, don't you think? Because it's that close.
It is that close. It's actually not that close if you actually look at the data. And the data shows that there's quite a few people. It's not just the one person. It's 27, 31% of either conservatives or libertarians that stay home on election day. So it would not be that close if we would just, we say get out. They say get out and vote on the far left. And I would say that if we just got out and vote and did the things that we know and support the things that we do when we're standing in front of the TV, we'd be in a much better position.
I think you're right. We need to get a few more people to participate, but I think that is a great quote by the founders who saw amazing prescience there from over 200 years ago that maybe saw a lot of this coming. Now, what Kim always talks about on the show is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Don't forget that socialism ultimately comes down to force. If an idea is a good idea, it shouldn't have to be forced on you. People will want to do it. Juliana, I know you don't like being told what to do. That's for darn sure, right?
Well, thank you, Jason, so much for the invitation. Hello, Steve. And it's always a pleasure for me to be here. Yes, you're right. Because of my background, I was born in Lima, Peru. And very difficult times when you are experiences a country that it was run by a dictator when I was born. And later on, there was the establishment of central planning economy. You know that you come to appreciate freedom very much. So that's very important. We cannot deny what we are witnessing, what is happening in this country. And it's just breaking my heart because it's just... these ideas of division and tyranny, oppression, that I totally opposed.
Well, Juliana, you know, I first met you at Kim's Stand for Colorado rally, and I think that was about a year ago, right, the first one she did. And you gave a, you know, a blow the doors off the Capitol type of speech, and I said, that's a gal I would not want to get on the wrong side of. And I know that you've harassed Jason, not literally harassed, but been a thorn in the side of Jason Crow. You have showed up at many events with politicians and held them accountable and called them out and called them to the canvas. And I think it's really amazing what you've done with Due Date Too Late, which we'll talk about just a little bit later. Kim always wants to thank everyone who helps make the show possible. Zach, Patty, Keith, producer Steve. I'm sure I'm forgetting some, but it takes a cast of thousands to make this thing come off as smooth as it does every single day, which is great.
The father of KLZ, which is Charlie.
And Charlie. Sorry about that. Yeah, and I didn't want to forget Charlie. But so, again, I think... it's very interesting, some of the things that are going on, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, but there was a report that over 8,600 Colorado businesses filed to dissolve their businesses in the second quarter, and a lot of this is due to coronavirus, and that it's surprising, actually, that that's only about a 5% increase from last year, according to the University of Colorado Boulder Leeds School of Business, 8,659 businesses dissolved last quarter, 5.2% increase from the previous year. I would have thought it would have been much larger than that, the way things have been going, but the report did note that dissolution filings often lag the actual business dissolution. Joe, this was talked about last night at a meeting that actually all three of us ended up being at, which was quite a nice coincidence to see you guys last night and this morning too. But it is a huge problem what's happening in Colorado and many other states with these lockdowns where businesses, you know, are going down left and right. You talked about that a little bit last night. Do you have a quick comment on that?
Yeah, so the dissolution does follow the business, and it's not the last. It's not the first thing on their list, right? It's,
right.
Oh, let's go out and dissolve. Let's follow the paperwork and dissolve it at the state level. But the amount of just sheer devastation that's happening to businesses right now, it's evident. I mean, you can actually drive down the street and see businesses that were open that are now permanently closed, and it's not just, hey, there's one business every, you know, 10 blocks. It's, you know, 3, 4, 5 businesses every block. And so I think that the lockdown favored big businesses in almost every state that the lockdown occurred, but it also put smaller businesses at a material disadvantage. And now that the $600 additional in unemployment ended on July, at the end of July, we're going to see much more unrest as a result of the unemployment that we're facing and experiencing now.
Well, hopefully that'll spark people to want to get back to work.
Oh, yeah.
Juliana, I'm sure you're not too excited about seeing businesses closed down and being locked down either, correct?
Of course not. This is it's very sad to see what is happening with the economy. And from my personal experience, you know, when a country goes bankrupt, it's just... like what happened in Peru in the 1980s, and there was a great deal of concern and just really terrible for families. We're talking about that my family, for instance, suffered a great deal when you are a middle-class family, and all of a sudden, an entire group of middle-class just disappears, and everybody's pretty much half of the population is poor. So that's a big concern of mine, that just to see that the businesses, that especially small businesses, are disappearing in the United States is very critical.
Well, and the thing, Joe, you relayed a story last night. I'm hoping you might give us a quick repeat of that. It's not just that the business goes down. The family goes down, and the devastation that can cause emotionally, not just financially, but emotionally to the business owner, to the family, the children, and everyone that's kind of in the orbit of that business. And you had shared a story last night about a business owner that you're aware of who was afraid his credit line was to be cut off.
Well, they actually did cut off his credit line. And so my friend owns a manufacturing company, and it's a fairly large manufacturing company. And he, you know, the stock market dropped 1,000 points in one day, right? And everyone was freaking out, thinking this is just another, you know, 2007, and we have this manufactured recession or depression. And so that was on a Monday. He was notified that they were going to cut off his line of credit. Well, leading up to this, people had been slow walking paying because, and obviously it got worse there for a couple months. But on Monday, they notified him that he was not, that they were basically suspending his line of credit. On Tuesday, he committed suicide. On Friday, they turned back on his line of credit.
Well,
3 days after he passed away. So,
yeah, that's just that's the untold stories that you don't hear of the damage and the cases that should be added to the COVID-19 perhaps death count that are a side effect that are caused by these lockdowns. I mean, without these lockdowns occurring that have slowed the economy, I would guess his business probably would have survived, and he very well may have as well, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, look, the pressure that's put on you when you care about the amount of people that he had working for him is tremendous. And I know personally, I employ about 190 people. You know, the pressure that I felt when we started the lockdown of, okay, am I going to have to lay people off? Am I going to have furlough people? You know, what's going to happen to my clients? There's just an immense amount of pressure that gets put on you. And frankly, it's a waterfall effect. And they did just announce, I don't know if you heard this, that suicides and deaths related to suicides actually outpaced the deaths related to COVID.
Well, that certainly wouldn't be surprising. Okay, we're going to go to break here in a minute. Before we do, one of Kim's long-term sponsors is Hooters Restaurants, 5 locations in Colorado, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs. Lunch specials Monday through Friday, dine-in or to-go. You can still watch sports on their patios if you would like to watch sports. And they are also running an in-store fundraiser for Sacred Heart House of Denver, which is a local charity. They help prevent single women and single moms and their kids from homelessness. You can donate at any of the 5 Hooters Colorado locations. The fundraiser runs through August 16th, and you can learn more at order.hooters.com. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. You might notice Kim's voice is a little bit deeper today. That's because it's my voice, Jason McBride. Kim's taking a well-deserved day off. I'm here with a supporting cast of Joe Altman, Juliana Day, and, of course, producer Steve to help the show hopefully go smoothly and be just as enjoyable as it is when Kim's here. Steve, did you put this trivia up here in the box for me? Is that you?
Trivia? Where?
Yeah, it says trivia in the box. It says the King's College was founded in 1938 by Percy Crawford, who was the founder of Crawford Broadcasting. Is that true, or is that kind of just a joke there?
No, it's true. It's a leftover from yesterday's Rush to Reason, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Well, now the listeners got to hear it twice.
Great. Right? Well, okay. a different set of listeners, so it's all good.
Okay, no problem. Well, hey, I think that we have Lauren Levy from Polygon Financial Group on the phone with us. Lauren's a mortgage specialist. Lauren, are you with us? Good morning.
I am, Jason. Good morning, buddy.
All right. Well, what is happening in the mortgage markets right now? I know they got kind of locked up and messed up there for a while. Have things gotten easier? And what do people need to know right now? What's important to them?
Things are definitely a little bit easier than they have been in the past. Kim and I have been talking every week about how low rates are and how long they may stay low, and how the Fed has been involved in keeping them low, and things have definitely stayed the same. Rates are as low as they've probably ever been in history, and have stayed that way a little bit. There's a little fluctuations here and there, but for the most part, they're just staying low. And people need to know that there's a major opportunity to save a fair amount of money on a monthly basis.
Well, and retirees, Lauren, may especially benefit from this if you're not going to be able to get your mortgage paid off before you head into retirement. One of the most important things, I think you and I would agree, is to get your monthly nut as low as possible. So if you're going to be forced to have a house payment, and it helps if it's as low as possible. So this is a good thing for those heading that way too, right?
Absolutely. We can definitely help people shorten their payments down so that, just like you say, if you're paying $1,200 a month now, maybe you can pay $1,000 or $900. And, Jason, you deal with people on the financial side that are considering paying off their home. And, with 30-year rates in the upper twos, a lot of times in lieu of paying off that home, they can take that money and invest it with someone like you and get a higher return, and then just leverage that money to making additional funds and not paying off the house.
Well, that's always a possibility too. Now, I know a lot of folks like to be debt-free. I'm a big proponent of being debt-free. I think the less obligation you have and the less people have their hands sticking out every month wanting you to put money in it, the much easier it is to live. And I have found that my clients that are debt-free are less stressed, more happy, and tend to go on. So, Lauren, I'm not trying to cut off your business by saying that. I'm just going either way. But it is a wonderful time to think about refinancing if you haven't done so. I've still run into a few folks, Lauren, recently that have rates up, that are up in the fours, which is you thought was cheap a few years ago, and now it sounds really expensive.
That's right. I just talked to someone yesterday who had a 4.875 and is coming down to 2.75 on a 30-year.
Wow.
And the amount of savings, it was like $315 a month. I mean, that's life-changing right there. And, part of you doesn't understand how they stayed in it that long, but a lot of people just go about their day and live their life and don't even realize.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to help people like that.
Well, it's good to be able to show the difference, Lauren. I know you're very good at that. I know you're very thorough, very honest, and have been a great asset in helping my clients and a lot of others at Presidential Wealth. So we really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, Laura.
Well, thank you. Have a good weekend, Jason.
Okay, buddy. Have a good one. Now we've got Karen Levine following up. Lauren, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. She's here to give us a market update. I see Karen and Barry oftentimes at events as well. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Jason. How are you this Friday morning?
Well, I'm much better now that you're here.
Oh, aren't you kind?
Well, you know, so the listeners are better too, and I am kind. I try.
You are.
Well, what's happening out there?
Well, the housing market, it continues to be very active and very robust. It's exciting to look at the last 7-day numbers, which Kim and I have been taking a look at really since all this COVID-19 stuff started. And today I can report that new listings on the market in the Front Range, we've had 1,948 new homes come on the market, which is not enough to satisfy the demand because we've had 2,482 homes go under contract in the last 7 days. So almost 2,500 homes have gone under contract. And if we only got 19 coming on the market, we're going to be short, which means that it's still predominantly a seller's market in most price ranges. And then what's exciting is we are starting to see our closed numbers, houses going to closing and people moving into their new homes and others relocating to their new homes. We've seen 2,344 homes close in just the last 7 days. So a lot of activity with the uncertainty of schools. I think that's getting a bit ironed out over these past couple of weeks. But I think families are starting to see that they can make moves all throughout the year, that not just the spring selling season is ideal. We've got a lot of activity out there. So I encourage Kim's listeners that if they've thought about selling, now's a great time to have that discussion. And for buyers out there, if you're not working with a realtor like myself, you need someone advocating for you, someone who knows how to navigate this market when it's a seller's market, how to look out for your best interests. And so I certainly encourage both buyers and sellers to reach out, give me a call, and we can see if this is the right time for them.
Okay, Karen, why don't you give us your phone number? I don't have it memorized like Kim does, and it's not on the sheet. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All right. Karen, thanks for coming on and giving us an update. A little bit surprising. Some people might find that the real estate market is so robust, kind of along with the stock market's still very, very robust, too. So, Karen, we always love to hear from you, and you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
You do the same, Jason. Thanks for stepping in.
All right. That's Karen Levine. Get a hold of her at 303-877-7516. I forgot to ask Lauren to give his phone number. Luckily, I do know his. It's 303. This is Lauren Levy for your mortgage needs, 303-880-8881. So, guys, I do find that that's interesting what Karen was talking about. You would think now the low interest rates are going to spark a lot of buying and some economic activity. They've sparked things in the market. Joe, but I think it's interesting there's this many houses changing hands. And I've heard it postulated that a lot of people have tried this working at home. Either that or they're concerned that their kids aren't going to go back to school or they don't want them to, and they're actually readjusting and buying a house that's going to work for a whole different type of working in school environment long term. What do you think?
I think there's a lot of parents that are actually pulling their kids from school because of this, hey, we're only going to have class twice a week, right? So I do think the thing that landscape's changing. It definitely is changing in the business world because in our building, we're the only business in a 40,000-50,000 square foot building. Maybe it's more than that, 100,000 square foot building. We're the only business that actually is there every day. And this building was full.
Okay.
So I think it is changing. I think people are actually readjusting their needs for working from home. And, I hope it's not a new normal because I think that would be a tragedy, I think, to everything that we do as a country. But I do think that there is some of that adjustment that's happening right now.
Yeah, and the social interaction, I think, I've been working a lot from home, and it works for the most part. But I'll tell you, there's things I miss about being around my compadres at the office and, talking to people and the chit-chat and that type of thing. Now, Juliana, on the school part, real quick, I think it's very interesting that they took a poll. I can't remember if this was in Douglas County, which county they were talking about, but 84% of the parents said they asked the parents, apparently 33,000 parents were polled and asked and inquired, what do they want? 84% wanted 100% for the schools to be back open, in person, back to normal learning. And they took that info from the people, asked them what they wanted, and then ignored it and went to this kind of hybrid model. Isn't that kind of that's a tough one to swallow, Juliana?
Definitely. And I agree that there's going to be a period of adjustment because of COVID, because of the shutdown of the schools. It's very interesting that we are social people. And one of the things that have been affected a great deal is the fact that the kids being at home all the time, it's not good for sure. But at the same time, it's giving sort of like a testing ground for a lot of these families to try homeschooling. Because one thing, even though you want the interaction of the kids with other kids and going to school, but at the same time, you know what's going on in the schools, a lot of indoctrination.
That's true.
And that's one of the things that is worries me all the time. You know that I was behind the rallies against the sex education bill, the infamous HB 1032. And now with COVID, and I'm not advocating just for a shutdown. I know it's necessary for kids to go to school. But for parents to keep a close eye on the curriculum, that's what I would say. This is giving a great opportunity for parents just to know exactly what they're teaching to their kids. So in that sense, yeah, we need to reevaluate how everything is being done at the school level.
All right. Well, Juliana, it sounds like you're looking to see if some lemonade can come out of the lemons. It's always good to have a positive attitude. I agree with you. In some ways, you'd want to say maybe it's a good thing the schools are being shut down with what they're teaching the kids, but it's really not. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Juliana a little bit more about her initiative. This is her initiative she put on the ballot, Due Date Too Late. We'll also talk to Joe some more and keep the chatter going. You're listening to The Kim Monson Show right here on KLZ 560. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Monson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Monson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. As always, we've got great music coming from Charlie. Charlie is nice enough to ask yesterday, well, what kind of music do you want, Jason? I'm like, well, I'm kind of a 80s guy, you know, I like the hair bands and that stuff. And Charlie said, I think we'll stick with what we've got going. And I agreed with him. I think it's better. We are back here on the Kim Munson Show. I'm Jason McBride filling in for Kim today. Don't forget to check out Kim's website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter to make sure you stay in the loop of what's going on in Kim's world, and make sure to give her a like on Facebook. Again, today I'm here with Joe Altman, Juliana Day. We're going to be talking about, we're going to go to Juliana right now, who is the founder of Due Date Too Late. I think this is an amazing story. You know, one gal from Peru that lives here in the United States now has gotten this initiative on the ballot to make abortion in Colorado illegal past the 22nd week. But, you know, if you knew Juliana and had got to know her a little like I have, you wouldn't even say it's amazing she had got it on. You would have thought it was amazing if she had failed to get it on. So, Juliana, what is happening with Due Date Too Late? I'm sure everything's going very, very smoothly, right?
Well, I'm very excited, really excited, because really when people thought that it was almost impossible, yeah, it became possible just to put it on the ballot. Despite all the obstacles and even an executive order from Governor Polis just singled us out as a group and to make it more difficult. And even for the listeners to take, just to have an understanding what took place, it was during the first phase of the initiative, we fell short. So with the signatures. So we were, at that point, we were confronted with COVID, with all the lockdown, churches closed, businesses closed, the fear of the people because of the virus. And we were given 15 days to gather almost 10,000 signatures just to close the gap and to be able to put it on the ballot. And it was just a monumental effort by all the volunteers. And I cannot say enough just to thank everybody in the state of Colorado that mobilized and gathered those signatures. So even under those conditions, so we, at this point, we are on the ballot. We did it. And we not only gathered 10,000 signatures that it was needed, but almost 48,000. So we made a strong statement that having an abortion at 22 weeks that, well, actually up to the moment of birth, because that's what is happening in the state of Colorado. And the majority of the people have no idea that that is taking place. We always refer to other states, but actually there are only 7 states in the entire country that accept this type of abortion. And Colorado is one of those. And if we are just looking internationally, there are 5 countries in the world, in the entire world, that accept this type of elective abortion. And among those 5, there are 3 that are notorious human rights abusers. So we don't want to be like that. People in Colorado are compassionate people, and we cannot accept that. That's the main reason why pro-choice, pro-life, men, women, Republicans, Democrats, independents already signed a petition. It's been already in the latest Gallup poll that 70% of Americans in the entire country, they don't feel comfortable about having an abortion until the very moment of birth.
Well, I don't know what human being actually would feel comfortable. And now I know there would be those that would say, well, you know, 22 weeks is still bad, and I would agree with that, but you have to start somewhere. You can't always get everything you want right away. In fact, you very seldom get everything you want right away. So this is a great place to start. Just because it's 22 weeks now, Juliana, doesn't mean that once this passes, which I believe it will, that then you can't start pushing for even more, correct?
What we're trying to put it right now at this point is just to set reasonable, just, well, reasonable prohibitions in abortion, and that 22 weeks, we're talking about 5.5 months. This is where I feel deeply about, and not only because it's just in general the issue of abortion. We're talking about that the baby feels pain, and there are the studies that indicate that the baby feels even strongly pain than an infant or an adult. It has all the physical structures to do it, and a baby is also viable. At this point, that initiative is very clear. We are not trying to stop abortion altogether. We are trying to put reasonable restrictions on abortion when the baby is 5.5 months, and the woman, of course, has 5.5 months before just to decide what to do with his pregnancy. And one thing that is very moving for me, because it has changed completely my life, just to sponsor an initiative of this magnitude, is the fact that nobody can take away the testimonies that I've heard directly from men and women, because a lot of women cried and regret having an abortion. And they always, they are telling me that organizations like Planned Parenthood always just picture abortion, especially late-term abortion, like, oh, don't worry about it. It's a bunch of tissue, the clump of cells, and that's not it. So we have right now, this is such a great opportunity for people to stand for what is right, and just to stop the lies and the deception from organizations like Cobalt and Planned Parenthood.
All right. Well, Juliana, you are certainly to be commended for your efforts to get this on the ballot. We saw as they did try to put every obstacle in your path and kind of came after you in this initiative with a lot of vim and vigor that you might not have seen with other initiatives. And Joe, I know that you've told me that you're absolutely a pro-life guy, and I doubt
100%.
You know, it's got to be thrilling also for you to see the progress Juliana has made with this.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I commend you. I think this is, it's amazing what you're doing, right? The goalposts just keep getting moved more and more, and it's not just abortion, it's everything, right? Sex trafficking, normalizing pedophilia, trafficking of children. I mean, they're trying to normalize things on the I call it the loony left, the far, far left. I mean, classical liberals have to be just basically beside themselves right now. But on the abortion side, it's, you know, I am pro-life. I will never deviate from being pro-life, right? And it doesn't mean that I don't accept people where they are when they're pro-choice, but I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, when it's confronted with me, to give somebody different options than going to Planned Parenthood, which is, in my opinion, a baby killing factory.
Right. That's the main thing. That's what they are trying to do. They are pushing for that agenda. They don't even want reasonable restrictions when it comes to abortion. They are very clear, and they already started.
Well, and Margaret Sanger actually started.
Mm-hmm. And she was a
Planned
racist.
Parenthood. She was an absolute racist. Yeah. She actually did it to erode the black community specifically, right? So, I mean, the whole foundation of that organization, I think, is just flat evil. But
all right, and we're going to go to John Buckingham here in a moment. But you're right. I'm glad you said that, Joe. I'm glad you said that word evil, because this is, at this point, it kind of is a battle of good versus evil. This isn't just an election. It's not left versus right. This is, in very many ways, good versus evil. So let's go to John Buckingham. He's with Presidential Wealth Management. I asked John if he would keep an eye out for the jobs numbers, which were coming out today. Now, John, it's interesting. Colorado's unemployment rate was 10.5% in June. That was down from about 12.2 in April. So Colorado's come down. I know the expectations this morning for that we were going to gain about 1.5 million jobs and end up at 10.5% nationwide unemployment. How did we do? What did the actual report say?
Well, the report came out this morning showing that we actually dropped down to 10.2%, and we had roughly about 1.8 million additional jobs in the non-farm sector. So we did get a little bit better than expected on the unemployment rate when you just look at that number. But when you factor in labor participation rate, we've dropped down about 2% from where we were in February,
okay,
from about 63.5% down to 61.5%. So realistically, we're still sitting at about, you know, 12% unemployment relative to where we were back in February and even in January when we were sitting around that 3.6, 3.7 level. So, you know, numbers are better than they were, which they should be now that we've come out of temporary lockdown to a degree. But we're still just a ways off from where we need to be here.
Well, I'd always like to see a better than expected report than a worse than expected. And this probably will take a little bit of time to grind back. The stock market tends to look ahead. You know, it's at new all-time highs. The economy certainly is not yet, but that is encouraging on the jobs report. Now, John, what should people be thinking about with their investments and the market and their retirement right now? And then tell us how folks can get a hold of you and the fine folks at Presidential Wealth Management.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, I mean, the way this market is setting up here, as you just mentioned, the NASDAQ's at all-time highs. It keeps, you know, punching up a little bit each day, it seems like. The Dow and S&P are closing in on where they were back in January at the peaks. Yet, you know, we're at, again, double-digit unemployment. We had GDP negative of over 30% negative in the second quarter. It doesn't seem like the market's pricing a lot of this in, and they're pricing in, as you said, future expectations. And I think, unfortunately, they're pricing in unrealistic expectations on how much the government's going to bail us out with, you know, the usual free money, if you will. So I think that, you know, this is a good time. You know, if you didn't really like the roller coaster ride of, you know, the downturn you saw in February and March and then the chaos ever since, this is a good opportunity to take a look at potentially going more conservative. It's giving you a second chance of, you know, easing back out of this market and finding more conservative investments to get into, just in case we get a second lockdown or if, you know, this virus gets out of hand again in the fall.
Okay.
I think that's a good opportunity. And, you know, you can reach us at 303-694-1600, and we'd be happy to discuss.
Okay, John, thanks for keeping an eye on that for us this morning, and we're glad we got good news, at least relatively. You have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Bye.
All right. Knives are an essential part of the all-American toolkit. Whether you're a hunter, fisherman, outdoorsman, you have a favorite knife or two that you can't do without, well, add to your toolkit with a unique custom knife from Castle Gate Knives. They carry unique custom knives from local Colorado makers and other top bladesmiths throughout the world. This is one of Kim's new sponsors. That's Castle Gate Knives. Get more info at castlegate.com. That's one word, castlegate.com. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Joe Altman about what's really going on with the poll numbers and then a new organization that he started up that seems to have a lot of energy. You're listening to the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
All right, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Don't forget to check out Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter and give Kim a like on Facebook. I'm Jason McBride filling in for Kim, who has a well-deserved day off today. Joining me is Joe Altman, who is a friend of mine. A business owner here, Juliana Day, has also joined us to talk about her initiative, Due Date Too Late. Joe, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to ask you to talk fast about two very important subjects. Number one, your company, PIN Data Systems.
PIN Business Network.
I had it all right except for the last two words. I knew as soon as I said it. PIN Business Networks. I apologize, Joe.
Right.
You guys worked with the Trump campaign in 2016, gathering data. I remember you telling me that you were one of the only ones that felt pretty confident he was going to win due to the data you were seeing.
Right.
Well, now we're seeing, of course, they're saying he's behind double digits in the polls, all this type of thing. So I'm coming to the actual guy that has the data. What's really happening out there, and what are you guys seeing?
Well, there's a slow erosion of President Trump's base. That is undeniable, right? And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that there's just the hits keep coming, right? And COVID hasn't helped very much. But they say that he's down double digits. He actually, in key states, he's not down at all, right? It's a dead heat. One of the things we're actually seeing on the data side, like how people are engaging with President Trump and Joe Biden, is this kind of wait and see. They really want to see a debate,
okay,
right? Which will favor President Trump because obviously Sleepy Joe, I'm going to call him Sleepy Joe, I don't think can show the people in a debate that, one, he has stamina, that he can last long enough to get through the debate without falling asleep. But the other side is that they'll see his cognitive ability, which I think most Americans question. So given the opportunity to measure out where Trump is just based on math and analytics, I think that President Trump right now, they say that he's down 15 points. The national poll says 8 points. We're seeing that in some key states he's down 1 point. Up to 3 points, and other states he's up 4 to 5 points.
And my understanding is he's started making some gains,
yes,
recently in the, yeah, last couple of weeks as well. So we still got a long ways till the election. Well, a short time, but a long ways for things to change.
Well, and frankly, the American people feel fooled, right? We feel like that we've been fooled, and that more and more Americans are being pushed to feel that this is a political weaponization of our society that's happening with this pandemic. As more numbers come out and we start looking at other countries and how they've handled the pandemic and how they handled COVID, I'm not saying that COVID's not real.
Right.
What I'm saying is that the reaction to COVID does not fit the risk that's out there. So, and then, you have other states that are saying, hey, we're going to ban the use of hydroxychloroquine and Z-Pak as a treatment. Yet more and more doctors are now coming out saying that that's a viable treatment, that, that is actually something that can actually save lives. So, people are torn because the media has now been weaponized, and we're dealing with the media as well. So the media is actually picking sides, and they're trying to use propaganda to, frankly, it feels like this agenda is now being thrust through and forced down the throat of Americans. And I think that they're waking up, they figured it out, right? So people are waking up every day and saying, look, the left is just out of control.
Well, and certainly the attack on fairly, let's call it an innocent drug, hydroxychloroquine, if that had only been mentioned first on CNN,
right,
and Trump had said he disliked it, maybe a whole bunch more people would be getting cured.
And maybe a whole bunch more people would be alive.
Well, yes. I mean,
they're playing games with the American people, right? And the American people truly, and this is what I get fired up about, is because we want to talk about the value of life and saving a life when literally they politicized even the cure. And they're saying, we have to have a vaccine. I want you to know that just as many people died of the flu that died of COVID last year, and there was a vaccine. So just think about that.
Yeah, the flu vaccine is certainly not 100% effective. I don't know that I don't know if this is true, but I've heard they've never had an effective vaccine for any coronavirus.
No.
Maybe there's never been an interest in creating one, and now there is, so we'll see what happens with that. But you're right, Joe. This whole thing has been turned into mass hysteria. you know, and some people say, well, if Joe Biden gets elected, COVID will be cured the next day. Others say, well, you know, if Trump gets reelected, at least they'll stop beating him over the head or pushing this on us because they won't need to. I disagree. I think they're going to keep pushing it even if Trump gets elected. Right. It's the weapon that's right there on the shelf already.
Well, it's a control mechanism, right? Yeah. And in 2005, they actually did a study of hydroxychloroquine, actually chloroquine, against COVID, right, as an inhibitor. And so that study had a positive result. So that study now has been buried. Right. And that was in the Journal of Medicine. So it's not like it's just that the idea of hydroxychloroquine working against COVID just came out of thin air.
Right.
This is a viable solution. Matter of fact, I got COVID. I took hydroxychloroquine. I took a Z-Pak or erythromycin. I took that. Right. So I actually took both of those things and I was fine a day and a half later. So I think that the American people should have choices, and it shouldn't be the choice of big pharma being chosen over the American people. The top five drug companies in the country, right, in the U.S., top five drug companies have all one thing in common. Do you know what it is?
They probably all manufacture hydroxychloroquine.
No.
Well,
they're all felons.
They're all felons?
All felons.
Okay.
They've paid over $200 billion over the last decade in penalties, and they have all been convicted of, right, or accused of felonies against the American people. So this is what we want to do. We want to wait for a vaccine from a drug company that has already proven that they don't have any ethical limits.
The problem is that they are politicizing this issue. Right. And what is at risk is the lives of people, American people. And when you see, and by the way, this is something that is in the hearts of a lot of Americans, and they feel that there's something wrong when you are shutting down businesses, and at the same time, you have organizations like Planned Parenthood. They are so concerned about lives, and look what is happening. Yeah. Just abortion clinics are still remaining open. So that's, and churches are being closed too. So that is a big problem, and that when the Americans start thinking, hey, it's that this is not applying to everyone. This is just selectively they are applying to groups that some groups, and that's when politics get into place. They say, no, these groups are no good contributors to us, so we're going to shut down, and others are going to remain open.
Joe, we got about 3 minutes left. Boy, the time sure goes fast. Yes. You know, I attended a meeting last night. You're a man of many different activities. You're also the CEO of a what I would call an upstart group, I guess, FEC United. That stands for Faith, Education, and Commerce. I know Juliana was at the meeting last night, too. This is for conservatives who want to fight for America. I've been to meetings like that before, and some of them have been real snoozers, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. You know, this was a big crowd. There was older and younger folks there, but I'll tell you that there is some energy going on with this thing that you have put together. People can learn more if they go to FECUnited.com. They can join there, learn more about it. But, Joe, unfortunately, we're coming close to the show. Give me about a 90-second talk about what you guys' objectives are and what you're trying to do.
So the objective is to take America back, right, to take our country back and to take our states back. And those three pillars, faith, education, and commerce, are the pillars of every community. You'd be hard-pressed to find anything else outside of that that means more to, and we didn't say churches, we said faith. So Christian, Muslim, Jewish, we don't care, right? Giving you the ability to have that spiritual nourishment, which is just as important as food. On the commerce side, we've seen anemia happen in the chambers of commerce and the trade union. So we wanted to have something that allowed for us to give businesses the power to stand together. And then there's two other pillars outside that or divisions that aren't described in the organization, and that is policy and politics, so we can elect people from our communities and make sure that they return back to the community. And then a part of defending our community and making sure that people can stand up for and protect people within their communities against things like Antifa. We are at a critical time in our country where everything is being taken away from us at the same time, right? It's and so we've got to be able to stand up. And this organization has basically caught fire. We have 57,000 people that have actually signed up to become members in the last 8 weeks. I was at speaking at an event in Colorado Springs. 1,000 people showed up for an FEC meeting. Yesterday, we had about 250 people. The day before, I spoke in Loveland to about another 250 people. We're bringing other organizations together. We're working with other think tanks like Independence Institute, mm-hmm. Just to create solutions, things that actually work in our community. And the reason why people are showing up to these meetings is because it's an action. This, right. this business is an action. We're going to spend as much time as we possibly can making sure that we have teeth, right? We're going to hire attorneys, and we're going to work with organizations. We're going to create rallies, and we're going to hold people accountable. But more than that, we're going to have a season of recalls. If we have to recall every single person because they don't stand for the community, we're going to do it. So
we don't want to lose what we have in this wonderful country.
And
it's
right.
the freedom, the values. And I'm just the strong supporter of that. And that's why I'm sponsoring all this. When there are opportunities to stand for values, I sponsor that. And I want, before my, the time is running out, please just visit our website, duedatetoolate.com. This is an initiative this right now is Proposition 115 because it has changed the number. But please visit duedatetoolate.com or call me at 720-899-0897. This is so reasonable. We can come together and pass just a ban to late-term abortion. Thank you so much.
All right. Check out Due Date Too Late. Joe Oldman, check out FECUnited.com. I sure appreciate both you guys coming and making this show better than just me and Steve being here. You're listening to The Kim Munson Show on KLZ 560. And I don't